2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to finish up. We've been looking at the amazing, wonderful commitment of the Apostle Paul. And we find in this chapter three basic things that is revealed to us as to what enabled him just to keep on going on for Jesus. We know as we read the stories, wow, what this man had to go through. We don't know nothing about persecution. Ooh, I'll tell you what. And the Apostle Paul even admitted, he didn't want to, he admitted that there were no other believer who had endured as much as he had at that time. And so let's look a little bit again at his great commitment as we think about all the experience, the imprisonment, and we think about the beatings, the stoning, the shipwreck, and all the other burdens that came upon him as he was just simply preaching the gospel. If you want to experience some persecution, share more of the gospel. Okay? And you'll find out it don't sit well with your friends and neighbors and sometimes even your family. Because it's convicting. Convicting. You know why? Because it's true. It's amazing. I remember I was driving by and I remember visiting a house many years ago. Brother Jimmy Jefferson and I visited that house, and I'll never forget. We just handed a tract and invited him in church. He got mad as a whore. And he cursed us. I thought about that. I passed by the house. I hadn't thought about that in a while. I don't know if he's still there or not. But anyway, I thought, wow, isn't it amazing? I mean, we didn't have a gun. I didn't have a knife. I didn't make any threats. I just came to share the love of Christ with him. Amen. He wanted to listen. He wanted to listen. And you know why he did? Because he was convicted that it was true. You know, if I'd come there to his house and I had a, I said, I want to give you a book of fables and fiction. He wouldn't have gotten mad. Okay? He said, no, I'm not a kid. I'm not one word. He wouldn't have got furious. But you say you believe that it's nothing but a bunch of fables and fiction trying to come in. Then why in the world is I angry? If I said, here, I want to give you a free book on Aesop's fables. he wouldn't have thrown it down and said, what in the world is this trash? What are you doing? Get off my property. He wouldn't have reacted that way. If I had come with a, what's the old fairy tale? Dickens?
Grimm's. Grimm's.
I'm a little rusty on the fairy tale. The kids are all going to.
Darwin.
If I'd come up with those things, he wouldn't have seen such a violent reaction. If it's fables and fairy tales, why in the world has that got to be so angry? Well, we all know the truth because of conviction that it is true. You don't want it to be true, and that's what makes folks mad. The Apostle Paul here, just preaching the gospel, boy, he searched their hornsness every week. But here's what he said about all of this. This is a remarkable testimony. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Isn't that amazing? He said, man, this stuff don't move me, don't bother me. Well, listen, I'm not like the Apostle Paul. It still bothers me. Okay? I haven't quite gotten that place of victory yet. Any of y'all say, I get mocked and laughed at by my Christianity, that don't bother you. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest. It still bothers me. Okay? It still bothers me. Don't stop me, but it doesn't bother me. Paul said, it don't move me at all. It don't move me at all. Amazing. And so let's look a little deeper in the great commitment of the Apostle Paul. Just to keep serving God. We saw first time, if you remember, verse number 1. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the what?
The promise of life.
Boy, y'all are slow today. This is special. The promise of life. The promise of life. He said, that's the reason that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, why I'm a believer in Christ, why I serve Him, why I love Him, because of the promise of life. Hallelujah. He is the giver of eternal life. He's the possessor of it. You can only get it from one place. It's from Jesus. And so thank God, he said, that's the reason I serve the Lord. The promise of life. I remember Peter said that. The Lord said some offensive things. And Peter said, where are we going to go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Ain't nowhere else to go. Sometimes you might get offended by the scripture. Just go ahead and shake your head. There's some things in here you wish they weren't. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be honest before the Lord today. Okay. And we can get offended. And listen, sometimes we leave the service and our toes are not feeling well. Because the message went all over them. Okay.
Oh, man.
Where else are we going to go?
That's right.
These are the words of eternal life. And though they're painful, they're right. Though sometimes, listen, you and I have to bow our heads. But listen, we know they're true. And so the Apostle Paul said, that's why I'm in this promised life. Number two, we saw the provision. Now we find in verse number 7, he said, what God has given us. God has given us, by faith, he's given us not the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He said, listen, you know what God has given? God has given me power I don't have to make a difference. I wouldn't do this if I didn't think it made a difference. The old devil said, devil whispered to you, that don't make a difference. But God says he has given us this gift of power to make a difference. It's a difference that I can't make. It's a difference that's not because of talents or abilities or charisma or gifts or your own personal nature, your ability to express truth. No, listen, he said, this is a divine power, a God-given power, that God would empower through you. Wow. And he said, listen, God has not given us the spirit. That doesn't come from God. It comes from the fear of man, the fear of consequences. God gives us spirit, fear of power, and of love. You know what he knew? He knew that he was loved by God all day, every day, 24/7, 365. He was loved by, he was always walking in the love of God. World, man can't do anything to you except it pass by the Father. He won't allow it unless he can use it to bring forth good in your life. And then he said, listen, a sound mind. The world thinks you're crazy. But the truth is, God is giving you a sound mind. Thank God it is true. We know it's true. And it's the world that has a reprobate mind. It's the world that's going crazy. People don't even know who they are, where they are, what they are in this modern civilized generation we live in, of such intelligence and so many professionals. Listen, the world's in an absolute chaos and a mess. And so the world thought Jesus was mad. They thought the Apostle Paul was mad. And so, it's a compliment if folk call you crazy when you live for Jesus. You're in good company. Hallelujah. One day, I hope they wake up and realize you were the crazy one. The nonsense you believe. Okay? Crazy. Isn't it crazy what the world believes?
It's true.
That the majesty of this creation started with some explosion. And a couple of things here to go, but the next thing you know, there's a tadpole in the water. Out of that tadpole in the water, we have all the living creatures. And listen, one of them had a color, he became a butterfly. One of them had a tail, he became a monkey. And then somebody off dropped the tail and began to walk upright. And they call us the crazy ones. It takes way more faith to believe the nonsense that they believe than it does just simply that God created the world.
Amen.
Because the evidence is there. This is a majestic design of a great and glorious intelligence beyond my comprehension. Not an accident. What foolishness. And so we see that the Apostle Paul, this commitment was based on the promise of the land, number two, the provision. But I want you to see number three. I want you to see the purpose. Look at verse number 9. He said, called us, saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Apostle Paul understood that God had saved him and called him according to his own purpose. God had a purpose and has a purpose for your life.
Amen.
Your life is not just some arbitrary thing just thrown out of another existence and all of a sudden you just live your life and it has no meaning. No, listen, your life means something to God. We know that at Calvary when he purchased our salvation. Your soul means something to God. But you know what? Your life has been separated by God from destruction to fulfill a purpose he has for you. God has a purpose in our life. The word purpose means to design with the intention of accomplishing a desired outcome. God is trying to accomplish something in your life. And we find here that accomplishment, listen, coincides with our willingness to submit ourselves to the calling and purpose of God. We find here that the Lord's holy call is upon all of his children. Notice here the word. The Bible says here in verse number 9, who has saved, what's the next word? Still special with us. Okay. All right, us. Thank you, everybody. Saved us. Now that in English is what?
Plural.
Thank you. We got some bright stars in here for helping us out. And what does plural mean?
More than one.
The Apostle Paul didn't talk about my holy calling. He talked about our. He used the word us and ours, not just me. You say, thank God I'm not the Apostle Paul. But if you're a child of God, you have a calling. You have a purpose. And listen, the word purpose here in the Bible is a little more specific. It means to set forth or to exhibit. Wow, I like that. To set forth or to exhibit. How many of y'all have something in your living room that you exhibit? Has special meaning to you. It may be pretty. Okay? It may have special memories, something. And I'll assure you, knowing people like I know them, it's most likely your wife's. Come on, just go ahead and shake your head. It's your wife that does the exhibiting in the living room. If it's something important to most men, it's in the closet.
Upstairs in the barn.
Upstairs in the barn. In the doghouse. In the shop.
Display of rotten roots.
That 10-point buck looks at you everywhere you're going is not in the living room for a long time.
Nope. It is for rain.
All right. And so, this is the idea behind this word. That God has a purpose for your life, and that word purpose means to set forth, to exhibit, to display. Boy, what a marvelous truth. And in simple terms, God wants you to shine by the miracle of his word. That you bring God glory. And remember what the Bible said in Matthew 5:16 from the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God has a purpose for your life. He wants to show you forth. And listen, what is the chief purpose of the child of God? It is to glorify It is to show the greatness and goodness of God. It is to show the mercy and grace of God. It is to show the love and kindness and compassion of God. It is to show the truth of God. And so God has a purpose for your life. He wants to show you, to exhibit you, to make you shine, to bring Him glory. Look what God has done with just an old sinner.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
You see, that's God's great purpose for your life. Now, there are many ways He wants you to fulfill that, but that is the main essential. It is to glorify God. The Bible says, "For you brought nothing, or for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 10 reminds us, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God." Glory of God. That's a little better.
Thank you. Just a little.
The Apostle Paul's motivation, the purpose of God, it was to glorify Him. To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, you can tell if you read, he never got over how that God took an enemy of Christ. And someone who deserved the wrath of God, for, listen, he had wrecked and caused havoc among the early Christians and gotten letters to go, and he had in jail, and some of them, listen, were slain. He was the great enemy of Christ, and listen, here he was, saved by God, and now God had called him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share the truth and the love of God. He never got over what the grace of God did in his life. And neither should you and I.
Amen.
The grace of God. How do you respond to God's grace? By glorifying Him. By lifting up that name, by praising that name, by loving Him, by honoring Him, by worshiping Him, by praying to Him. I'm going to give you quickly, won't have a whole lot of time, but I found some scriptures that gives us some principles of glorifying God. If you will, take your Bibles, we'll look at the first one. Go to 2 Peter, if you will. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, we glorify God by escaping the corruption that's in the world. I get aggravated at corruption. I open a box of tools I have, those 10 that I haven't used much. They are hex sockets. And they're little boxes. Open them up, haven't used them quite a lot. Open them up. Now they've been closed, sealed off, open them up. And you know what I found? There's rust on them. That aggravated me. Rusty. They're not very old and they're rusty. Corruption. And I thought, hey, sometimes God looks at you and
oh.
Rusty.
Are you a little rusty? But well, the Holy Spirit prevents that rust. You thought about that?
No, that's good.
Oh, Holy Spirit. And so now I have to oil those things. By the same time, for use. I didn't buy them to look at. Right? I bought them to use. And you know, if they're rusty, they won't fit. You have to force them, then you can't get them apart. You know, they use a psychotic in a moment. Got in there, and now you get the thing apart. I bought them to use. Now listen, God wants to use your life to bring Him honor and glory. And he has different ways and means of doing that in your life. The Apostle Paul, listen to the great missionary. That was God's purpose and how he was glorifying God. But listen, it is true for every one of us that God's desire, we glorify Him. And we glorify Him by escaping the corruption. Look at 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us what? To glory. And virtue. Let me say this. The call to glory is not just when you get to heaven. holiness living for God. You see. In other words, you get a call to glory. You want that glory? That's not your glory, it's glory to God. You see. God has called you to glorify Him. Okay? And we usually, we reference call to glory just when you get to heaven. No. It means when you and I, our life begins to be a testimony for the grace of God. So we have a call to glory. And look what it says. Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you can change lust to lust here. And so to escape the corruption that's in the world, I'm going to tell you, it's just like being a piece of steel. In salt air. Okay, you're going to fight corruption because of the environment we live in. This is a despicable world we live in. It's filth, it's nasty, it's dirty, it's vile.
That's right.
And there's a part of you, let's be honest, there's a part of you that appeals to. It's called your old flesh. Your old flesh. And so the Bible says here that we have a call to glorify God, and we glorify God by escaping the corruption that's in the world. That world is designed to inflame the lust of your flesh and the pride of your life. Temptations abound, we live in it. But the Lord has given us divine power, the Lord has given us precious promises that we can escape these things. That we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And so we glorify God as we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so, listen, God desires, that you be used in His service, that you live for Him, that you bring Him glory. And that is God's purpose, to make you shine, to exhibit you as someone who's escaped the corruption. Number two, I find also this scripture that relates to this great truth, not only escaping the corruption, but also enduring the conflict. Listen to 1 Peter 5:19. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. The Lord here freely admits that we will go through trials and troubles, that we will face persecutions, hardships, the daily cares of life, and all of our experiences. But the Bible says the God of all grace, not just some grace, but all grace, has called you to glory. That after you've suffered a while, He will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and set. And so we glorify God when we endure the conflicts that in life that would cause many to falter, fail, quit, give up, and wave the flag. Thank God when you and I endure the conflicts and continue to praise His name and worship Him, glorify Him, live for Him, serve Him, it brings glory to God.
Amen.
You're testifying He's worth it.
Yes, sir.
He's worth it. You remember when Jacob was looking at what? Remember what he had to do? He had to do what? He had to work what? Do I remember?
Seven
years. That gal better feel like she's worth it. Then you know what happened, don't you? Maybe had a trick. This ain't the girl I was working for. He said, well, you got to take the oldest first. And so guess what he did?
Seven more years
for his bride. I'm going to tell you, I believe when she stood before him that day, ain't no doubt that fellow loved me. 14 years working for my dad on top of that. I mean, that's double torture, isn't it? We're having to work. 14 years had to work for your future father-in-law, who probably didn't think you were worth it, and probably wanted to run you off anyway. They didn't have a great relationship. Both of them were a little bit of a rascal side. And you know what? When you endure conflicts and troubles and hardships, you're showing the world, He's worth it! He's worth it! He's worth it! And brings glory and honor to our Lord and our Savior. And so we glorify God. That is God's purpose for your life, to bring Him glory. You glorify Him, listen, by escaping the corruption, by enduring the conflict. I love the song. It talks about He never promised that the cross will not get heavy, or that the hill will not be hard to climb. He never promised victory without fighting, but He said help will always come in time. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God He will help us. And then the last one I want to give you. We glorify God. That is His purpose. His purpose to exhibit. His purpose to show forth His children and what His grace can do and how He can transform a common sinner and turn him into the saints of God and the sons of God. And listen, we do that when we exercise character. We exercise character. The Bible said, making perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing to sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. Jesus Christ is glorified. Now listen, when you and I, by good character and doing and serving God, we manifest those good works. We walk in integrity, righteousness, and honesty. And listen, that testifies to the world of what God has done in your life. I was changing. We live in a world of liars, deceivers, and cheats, and thieves, and robbers, and swindlers on every hand. And it's growing worse by the day. And listen, they have no moral standards at all. They love to pick on the aged people. And we see today that practically every week comes by, we get a new warning of something they're doing. Listen, they try to rob, steal, and kill, and take advantage of people. And listen, we live in a world of it. But I want to tell you, somebody comes along with character. Somebody comes along with honesty, integrity, somebody whose word means something. Hey, listen, it's the evidence of the grace of God's been working in your life. How listen, that you know that God will take care of you. You don't have to be a liar, a cheat, a thief to get by in this world. You have a God in heaven who'll take care of you. You don't have to lower yourself, have to live as the other dogs live. How you can walk, listen, as kings. You can walk as the priest of the Lord. You can live for God, knowing that God will always take care of His children. And God will always bless you when you do what's right. And so, listen, you manifest that character which brings glory and honor to God. The Bible said, He made us kings and priests unto God, His Father, to whom be glory. A king is someone who shows true leadership and truth and righteousness and integrity. The priest is someone who shows great care and compassion and concern and becomes an intercessor for others. And so listen, God said that I have made you those very things to bring me honor and glory. That I have transformed sinners to be someone who is able to lead in truth and righteousness. I've transformed sinners to put a love in the heart, to have compassion, care, love, and concern for others along the way. Hey, listen, I have molded and made them in the image of Christ. They're vessels of honor to me to use. And I've exhibited you so that you might shine forth the glory and the grace of God. And so God has a purpose, as Paul said. Not just me, but us and our. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. That purpose to exhibit, to show forth, to bring Him glory. And we do that by escaping the corruptions of the world. Listen, how do you get through all this life without all that lust for us all over you? That purpose is manifested when we endure the conflicts. Man, you've been through it. Man, you've been through it. Well, listen, how is it you got joy and peace in your heart? How is it you got a song to sing? How is it you lift up your head and keep going? All this is because of the grace of God.
Amen.
And then we glorify Him by exercising. being filled with good works, charity, compassion, love, kindness, mercy, and grace, being a helper, blessing others along the way. Why in the world do you care? Nobody else cares. Why do you care? Because God put care in me. That's why. God put his love in me, you see. And you manifest that purpose in God. That purpose, listen, that shows what the grace of God has done in my life. Who am I, O Lord God, that you would do such things? Let me close with something Paul testified. As I mentioned, Paul never got over what the Lord had done for him. And I'll close with these verses. Listen. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, the Apostle Paul, he summed it. He said he saved me to show forth.